Now, friends, we come to another delightful little cluster of psalms, five of them, from Psalm 56 to 60. And they're all are known as Miktam psalms. You'll notice that each one of them is that way. For instance, Psalm 56, the first one, to the chief musician upon Jonath-elam Rehoboam. And it's a Miktam of David when the Philistines took him in Gath. Now, this is a Miktam psalm. Now, what does that mean? Well, the word means engraven. And actually, it speaks of that which is substantial, that which is durable, that which is fixed. You remember David said, my heart is fixed. Well, that's a Miktam, by the way. It means unmovable and steadfast and lasting stability and permanency and endurance. It has all of these meanings. These are wonderful psalms. And this first one now, the Miktam Psalms, Delitzsch called it the cheerful courage of a fugitive. And you will recall that in the last psalm, David talked about that if he only had the wings of a dove so he could fly away, lodge in the wilderness. In this psalm, the desire is realized, and the enemy's outside, and there's great danger, and the wicked's on every side. And in all of that, why, God delivered him. And, of course, the historical background is that the Philistines had taken him at Gath. That is, it captured David. And David's experience is written out here. Now, that experience is a picture of the Great Tribulation period again. All of these psalms have that prophetic look. And between the historical and the prophetic, between David's experience and the experience of those in the future, it has a real message for us today. And it speaks to our own hearts. For all of these psalms do that. And I'm going to read now a translation here. It's not one of the public translations. It's a private translation made by a man whom I respect a great deal. And I'm reading this translation. You follow in your text. Be gracious unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Throughout the day fighting, he oppresseth me. They are watching me and would swallow me up the whole day, for many are they that fight against me in pride. David, you see, surrounded by the enemy, seems to be on a hot seat and in a bad spot. Then what's he going to do in a case like this? Well, he says, when I was afraid. Was David afraid? He certainly was. Are you afraid? I had a couple say to me, they heard me make the statement that when I go by plane, I don't enjoy the trip. There's a fear in my heart. And they thought there's something wrong with my faith in God. My friend, may I say to you, fear will bring out faith in your life. Listen to David. When I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. And I'm afraid these people today that sit back comfortably and say, well, you know, I haven't any fear. Well, that may mean that you really are insensitive to what the circumstances really are and the problem really is. Or it may be a foolish sort of a faith. But David said, I'm afraid. And in these circumstances, David was afraid. What did he do? Why, he says, I'll trust in thee. I'm going to trust the Lord. Can you fear and have faith at the same time? Because the Scripture says, perfect love casteth out all fear. Love will do it, but you can still have faith and still be afraid. I hope that'll be a comfort to some folks today, because there's a lot of foolish things being said that actually are not scriptural. Then down in this psalm, and I'm going to drop down now, there's a very wonderful statement made, and it's down in verse 8. Will you notice this? This is a very wonderful thing. He says here, thou countest my wanderings. The Lord knows about every trip you make. I have thought of that a great deal since I've been studying the Psalms this time, because since I've retired, I've been going from place to place, and I sometimes ask my wife, I say, what did I speak about when we were in this certain place in Ohio, or down in Florida, or back in Texas, or up in the state of Washington, or out in the Hawaiian Islands? I forget what I was speaking about, and then she'll tell me. The Lord's got all that written down. If I could just have access to His book, it'd be great. Notice what He says, thou countest my wanderings. My tears have been put into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now, you will find a note in this New Scofield Bible that says sometimes in olden days in the East, mourners would catch their tears in bottles, that is, water skins, and place them at the tombs of their loved ones, you know, to show how much they grieve. Well, let me add something to that that John Bunyan, the tinker of Bedford, has said, and I think this is wonderful. He said this, and I'm quoting now, God preserves our tears in a bottle so that He can wipe them away someday. You know, friend, when I read that, I wish I'd cried more. We need to weep more, because God keeps them in a bottle, and He's going to wipe them away someday. How wonderful this is. And then he goes on to say, which is very wonderful here, in God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Someone wrote and said to me, you make too much of the Bible. You're everlastingly talking about the Word of God. That's what David did. He said, in God will I praise His Word. In the Lord will I praise His Word. Well, there's so few that are praising the Word of God, I want to make up for them. So I'm praising God for His Word. And then he says, I'll not be afraid what man can do unto me. And wonderful to have a resource and a recourse to God. And here he says, the last verse, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Now David said, and especially after his sin, David said, I want to walk before God that I don't slip up again. And as far as the record is concerned, David didn't slip up again. Now, the king of Babylon committed that kind of sin every day of the year. It was an old hat for him, but not for David. And David says, I want to walk before God. And today, you and I are enjoined to walk in the Spirit. God has given us not just a walking stick, more than that. To walk in the Spirit means to be utterly and absolutely dependent upon the Spirit of God. And this, my friend, gets right down where the rubber meets the road. It means to get down and practice this, as we saw in Galatians. It means get down out of your high chair and start walking. You're going to fall on your head, going to hurt yourself. Sure you are, but you're going to learn to walk if you attempt to walk in the Spirit of God. Commit yourself to Him every day. This is a wonderful psalm, a miktam psalm.